The Tea Health Show, your medical lifestyle podcast, brought to you by The Tea Clinic.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Mark. This is The Tea Health Show. In studio with me, we have Sister Elise van Aert. Morning, Elise.
Morning.
Dante Ludati and our lovely producer, Sims.
Morning.
And some Google trying to do something with a laptop. How are you?
Oh, great. How are you?
Okay. So, actually, today's show is quite serious. I want to come to you with a warning. And we're going to talk about medication for weight loss and the fact that, you know what, people are buying this stuff online.
Specifically injectables.
Injectable medication. So, obesity is the new pandemic. The incidence of obesity and being overweight is rising alarmingly. Sims,
yes.
Let's ask a question. Obesity is increasing. If you think about the last 20 years, how much increase do you think there's been amongst the world's population?
I think over 50%, just judging by the kids.
Ah, I like the fact that you said kids. And you, you're right, obesity has doubled.
Sure.
In adults, and obesity in children under the age of 19, as young as 2 years, have increased by more than 40%.
Sure.
Now, we all know that obesity is labeled as being unhealthy, which it is, but there's also body shaming, etc., etc. So people are really desperate for effective ways of managing their weight. And along came two medications which are available in South Africa, held as miracle drugs when it comes to management of diabetes and then obesity. And I'm going to name them Ozempic and Victoza and Saxenda.
I've heard about Ozempic.
Okay. Everyone has heard about
and
Ozempic.
And what about Trulicity?
Trulicity is more a diabetic medication,
okay.
And it's still seen as a diabetic medication. So it falls in the same class as the others, GLP or glucose-like GLP, glucose-like protein agonists.
Okay.
These are medication that were developed many years ago for the treatment of diabetes. And they were and are very effective.
Dr. Mark, type 1 or type 2 diabetes?
Both.
Both, okay.
Both type 1 and type 2 diabetes. The medication, when it came to the market, the first one was registered, it was Victoza. Now, the active ingredient of Victoza is a substance called liraglutide. When it went to human trials and then came onto the market, we noticed that the patients, these diabetic patients, started losing weight and quite dramatically, up to 20% of their body mass. And that improved not only glucose control, but, you know what, with the decrease in weight, they also had a more favorable cardiovascular profile. Their blood pressures came down. They had less heart attacks and strokes, as well as improvement in the kidney function. And then Novo Nordisk, who's the manufacturer of this product, developed another product by the name of semaglutide, and it's known to the public as Ozempic. Mm-hmm. Now, the only difference between these two is a slight change in molecular structure. The one we inject once a week, that's the Ozempics, and Victoza was once a day. Because it was so successful in managing diabetics and creating the weight loss, it was re-registered under a different brand name, Saxenda. Now, that's the liraglutide. And liraglutide is registered for weight loss. Now, in South Africa, we have both of the products available, or all three, let me rephrase, all three of the products available. But they have different registrations. In other words, you can prescribe them for only that reason. And that is Ozempic for diabetes. Mm-hmm. I beg your pardon. Victoza for diabetes. And then the weight loss counterpart of Victoza, which is Saxenda. Now, these medications took the world by storm due to social media, where celebrities and influencers started talking and posting about these things, how much weight they've lost. And you know what? It subsequently created a worldwide shortage of these medications. In the United States and in some countries in Europe, the weight loss counterpart of Ozempic under the name of Wegovy was registered. And then this is a drug that's not yet available in South Africa, and I don't think it will be for at least the next year, is tirzepatide, which is known as Mounjaro for diabetes, and Zepbound, it's the weight loss counterpart. Mm-hmm. These medications are effective in treating diabetes and in managing weight conditions if they are used appropriately. And this is the warning that I want to put out to people that do listen to these shows, or this show specifically. At the moment, we are seeing advertisements on social media, Facebook, etc., etc., for these medications at discounted prices, which you can order online. Mm-hmm. For me, it immediately starts creating panic, and for one simple reason. These are prescription medications. They are registered trade names. They are scheduled, and therefore they cannot be sold to anyone without a prescription from a medical doctor. I fully understand that the need to manage your weight sometimes creates desperate measures. If we just think to what lengths people would go and to the extreme kinds of diets, etc., etc., mm-hmm. And suddenly someone comes along and promises you an effective way of losing weight, but it's not available. I think most people will try and scramble and jump through hoops and wangle to get hold of this medication. The problem that we have is that unscrupulous people have seized on this need and are putting stuff out in the market, which is, frankly, dangerous, illegal, and putting our patients at harm. They are so good in faking these medications and the packaging that it's quite difficult to tell the difference between them. And that's what I want us to talk about. Mm-hmm. So, Dante, when I mentioned the topic of the show to you, you went and you spoke to a couple of people and they came up with some questions.
Yeah, yeah. But can I just ask something before that? How exactly does Ozempic and these other weight loss medications work? How do they work?
Okay. So the GLPs agonists work in two different ways. Number one, they're incretin-based medications. So incretin is a hormone, and they affect two other hormones, leptin and ghrelin. Now, leptin is a hormone that tells the brain that you are satiated. In other words, when you start eating, leptin gets released and it stimulates the part of the brain that tells you, I've had enough to eat, stop eating. So these medications, number one, increases the sensitivity to leptin. The other one, ghrelin, is when the body starts needing energy, it's the hormone that gets released and makes us feel hungry. So it suppresses the effect of ghrelin. So we don't feel as hungry as quickly or as often. Now, the medication works in two different ways. Number one, it stimulates the satiety center in the brain. So I don't feel hungry. So I don't feel like snacking the whole time. My meals become a little bit smaller. Why? Because I feel full far quicker. And the second part is that it delays emptying of the stomach. So food stays in the stomach for longer. Therefore, we feel fuller for longer. It's a wonderful, wonderful combination to decrease calorie intake through food.
But if you go off it for whatever reason, I know that there's been a shortage of Ozempic and so on. If you go off it, does that mean that you go straight back to where you were as far as your hunger levels go?
So I'm going to talk to you here about personal experience. Being a type 2 diabetic who battled to lose abdominal fat that was pushing up my cholesterol levels, etc., etc., I was on this medication for about a year. My glucose and insulin levels returned to normal. My cholesterol levels decreased. My energy levels got better. And you know what? My weight subsequently came down by about 6 kilograms.
That was over what period?
About a year.
Okay.
Okay, but you know what? I didn't have a lot of weight to lose. I stopped the medication in December, on the 1st of December. I stopped the medication. And I decided to see whether I can control my sugar levels as well as my weight and my cholesterol through the lifestyle changes that I started implementing while I was on the medication. It's been 5 months later My sugar levels are normal. My cholesterol hasn't climbed. And my weight hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, I started putting on more muscle. So do you go back to where you were before? Not if you change your lifestyle. And that's the cornerstone of managing obesity and weight problems, is lifestyle changes.
Mm. A friend of mine who was on Ozempic and then suddenly it wasn't available, so he was off it for a while, and then he went back onto it when it became available, but he got very, very sick. Hmm. And I don't know why that should be. As far as I know, he went back in at the same dosage,
well,
but I don't know.
That's the problem. Elise, you raised your hand.
No, I'm fine. I just wanted you to read that, but I think Dr. Mark must talk to us about the side effects.
Yes,
that was one of my questions. Medication.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That was
to
one of my questions.
Address that question,
yes,
that you have.
Yeah.
Okay. So side effects of all these medications are dose dependent. Now, the most common side effects are nausea, bloating, gassiness, burping, heartburn, and sometimes diarrhea, and in a minority of cases, constipation. And when I say the side effects are dose dependent, what your friend did is he worked himself up over time to a therapeutic dose, and when he stopped, the effect of the medication wore off. And when he reintroduced at that dose, he got dose-dependent side effects. Most probably the nausea, most worse than anything else.
Yeah.
And I think this speaks to, you know, just how important it is to understand that these medications need to be prescribed by a medical practitioner that can titrate your dose according to how you react to them. So if we look, for instance, at Ozempic, semaglutide. Well, not Ozempic. Let's look at semaglutide. For diabetics, the maximum dose for diabetics is about 1.2 milligrams per week. But that doubles for patients who are using this medication, Wegovy, to 2.4 milligrams per week. So if I take a big dose right off the bat, you're going to feel sick for days. We had a patient that used one of these medications, and she had such a bad reaction that she ended up in hospital with acute dehydration. She couldn't stop vomiting for a couple of days. She had diarrhea. And you know what? She came back and she said to me, you know what, I felt as if I would rather die than continue with this. She was really, really, really sick. When these kinds of medications are brought to market, they have undergone years of research and development, years of different levels of safety studies. They are produced in a way that is ethical. The raw ingredients, the active ingredients are sourced from government and state-approved institutions. They are reconstituted in the correct way, under sterile conditions, packaged correctly, cold chain observed, etc., etc. It takes years to bring a product to market. Now, these medications, semaglutide, liraglutide, tirzepatide, are not new. They are peptides. Peptides have been around for a long time, and peptide therapy over the past, I would say, in South Africa, 3-4 years, in the United States, probably for the past 10 years, has been a talking point. It's effective if you use the correct type. The problem with them are that, you know, it's not difficult or expensive to produce or manufacture the raw ingredients. There's a process that needs to be followed. Applications, certificates of analysis, purity studies, efficacy studies that these companies have to go through. Now, I can tell you what is happening in the States and actually worldwide. Because there's a shortage of these medications, the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, put these two drugs on a shortlist, which means that compounding pharmacies can compound this product in order to supply this medication to clinics, hospitals, doctors, and patients already on the medication to fill the gap. The FDA started noticing counterfeit medication and started to warn doctors about it. And they've gone as far as banning the compounding of these medications. Your diabetic associations, your obesity associations, your cardiac associations then started saying, but you know what, it's not all the compounded products that are dangerous. You know what, there are legal compounding pharmacies that have sourced the raw product through approved channels from approved suppliers to Novo Nordisk, Eli Lilly, and are compounding these products in the correct way so that, you know what, it's a copy of the original product. Now, unfortunately, we cannot say the same about all these products. A lot of the stuff is marketed as Ozempic. I'm going to give an example. For one day on social media, I saw, or no, actually, one of my patients sent me a photo of Ozempic, and I looked at the box and I said, but this is not Ozempic. Number one, this is not the Ozempic box. Number two, Novo Nordisk is the manufacturer of this, and on the box it says iPharma. And immediately there's a couple of laws that was broken. Number one, a patent law. Number two, a registration law. One company cannot manufacture a drug under the same name. And I said to the patient, oh, my God, where are you getting this? And she said to me, no, I'm buying it online. And I said to her, if you put that into your body, you're an absolute fool. You don't know what's in there. This is not the original product. And just by the by, you're paying twice as much for it as that you would get it at the pharmacy for. And as a lawyer, she almost fell on her back and said, but this is one of my friends that said to me, I can get you Ozempic, just go onto this website, buy it. And I said to her, sorry, but you know what, as an intelligent person, you should know that this is prescription medication. You didn't get on a prescription. You bought it online. It's not the ethical product, never mind an original product. How would you do that? How would you do that to yourself? So desperation creates irresponsible behavior.
Are there medications that you shouldn't be on if you're on Ozempic that are going to create problems?
Yes, absolutely. If you're on some other diabetic medications, you can create hypoglycemic events. I think there were a couple of cases, for instance, in Australia, where people died because the products that they bought online were labeled to be either semaglutide or liraglutide. And in fact, the medication contained insulin. And they went into hyperglycemic comas and they died. Sure. So, you know what, there's a reason these medications are prescription medications. We need to understand your comorbidities. They have side effects. They have interactions with other drugs that can cost you your life. The moment that you buy something online, number one, you really do not know what's in there. You do not know how pure it is. You do not know whether it's sterile. It's taking more than a risk. It's just being plain stupid.
So you as an administering doctor, do you follow up with your patients? You don't just tell them, this is it, take it. Do you do further tests along the way? Is it a lifelong thing, for example?
For diabetic patients, yes. For diabetic patients, yes, because that's how they manage their diabetes. Now, the wonderful thing about these medications is that over the past couple of years, a lot of studies has been done, not only on the management of weight with these medications and the management of diabetes, but the benefits that it has for patients with cardiovascular disease and cardiac risk. So it is shown to dramatically reduce the incidence of cardiovascular events, specifically heart attacks and heart failure in diabetic patients. It has a very favorable effect on kidney function in diabetics. And you know what? I think there were a couple of studies that were done. Elise, just help me if I'm wrong. Were they done or are they being planned? I think they were done on the patients with kidney disease, existing kidney disease,
yes.
That it improves kidney function. There's also studies that are showing the benefit in patients with addiction problems, whether it's a food addiction, alcohol addiction, et cetera, because it works on those centers in the brain, desensitizing them to that dopamine rush, I think, almost of sweet things, etc., etc. I was in a webinar with one of my old professors, Professor Jacques Snyman, who's a pharmacologist, and he mentioned that people's like for different types of food change on these medications. People start eating healthier, not consciously. Mm. It's just their cravings for the salts, the oils, and the sugars start decreasing, and they eat a healthier diet. And I find, I found with me, that was definitely
exactly
the case.
That, yeah.
Elise?
Same for me, definitely.
It's just, you know what, I have a sweet tooth. Mm. If you want to torture me, just put a piece of beautiful cake in front of me, just out of reach.
Or lint chocolate.
Yeah, well, you know what, I will chew my arm off to get to that cake. But now, I don't eat it at all. Well, Sister Elena, it was her birthday. Happy birthday, Elena. It was her birthday on Tuesday, hey?
Mm-hmm.
So she brought one of my favorite things in the world, a peppermint crisp tart, ooh, to the office. yes, Sims, that's my exact. And you know what, Elise, did you have a bite?
I did.
It's delicious, yeah.
But I can take one bite nowadays,
so
not the whole piece.
I looked at this and I called her a bitch and I said to her, thanks for tempting me, I will not have it. And you know what? Usually it would be in the back of my mind.
Mm.
It would be calling me from the fridge. And is there anything left? I haven't even opened the fridge. So you know what? It really does change that. You know me, I can eat two slabs of chocolate in one sitting, never mind just a block.
Or more.
Yes. And you know what, it's changed that for me completely.
Okay, can I ask a question? I want to go back to, we spoke about the Ozempic from a certain company, which is not the original, right?
Yes.
Nowadays, you can get products on social media which is called anti-appetite peptides.
Yes.
And if you go into it, you see it is semaglutide, which is, we know, Ozempic, our main ingredient. How can we educate the public? Because that sounds fantastic, anti-appetite peptide.
Elise,
and what scares me, let me just ask you this as well. What scares me is, it's a 10 milligram vial.
Yeah. If you use that, you will die.
You dissolve 1 milliliter of water. That gives you 10 milligram on.
Per mil.
And they recommend that you just inject a quarter of a mil. That comes to.
Quarter of a mil.
2.5 milligrams.
That's higher than the maximum dose
weight
for
loss dose.
Wegovy.
Yes. So let's talk about that. How
okay,
are we
so let
going
me answer that question for you as follow. Our Medical Control Council, it's now known as SAHPRA, South African Pharmaceutical something something.
Health Professionals.
Health Association, yeah. Now, SAHPRA has done exactly what other medical control councils around the world has done to protect, I think, the ethical medication,
mm-hmm,
to protect us as patients and consumers from illegal and unethical drugs by classifying peptides from which semaglutide is one as biosimilar drugs. So a biosimilar drug, if you compound it, means that you are making exactly the same medication as the original. Now, that breaks a lot of laws because there's still patent rights on that, so you can't make the same medication. Number two, They went further, and for this I need to applaud SAHPRA. They have subsequently recalled the raw product from compounding pharmacies waiting for registration for these imported raw materials through official channels. So in South Africa, it's not illegal for the compounding pharmacies to compound this medication, as long as the raw material and the supplier who they get the raw material from is registered with SAHPRA as an official supplier of this material. Now, at the moment, as far as my knowledge is concerned, SAHPRA hasn't given approval to anyone in South Africa to bring in the raw material. These peptides are brought into the country. These products are brought into the country illegally, smuggled in, you know, and then advertised. We know that we can buy anything online. It's not illegal, for instance, to buy peptides in the United States online. So I can buy peptides from the States, from India, from Pakistan, from Israel, online, and get it shipped to me. The chances that customs and port health will confiscate this is very, very high, especially if the package is labeled according to the content that's in there. So if I want to import something, I have to have an importer's license, and the package that is sent to me has to include every single ingredient of what is in that box or parcel. And all of those things are currently flagged for confiscation or being held by our port officials.
Okay.
So, again, you know, if you can buy it online, if you can buy a prescription product online, you are breaking the law. The person who is sending you that medication is breaking South African law. You cannot buy a medication higher than a Schedule 2 if you do not go into a pharmacy. Well, you know what? Actually, a Schedule 0, because even Schedule 1 products, which is something as simple as Allergex, you need to buy over the counter because it's got a schedule of 1. Schedule 0 medications you can buy off the shelf, but only in a pharmacy.
Okay, but that's the medication part. I want to talk about the dosage part as well, how dangerous that type of dosage of 2.5 milligrams starting off on this medication.
Well, you know what? There's a counter-argument to what you are asking. Is what is the concentration, the actual concentration of semaglutide in that peptide?
It's claimed to be 10 milligrams.
Now, you and I both know that if a patient was to inject 2.5 milligrams of semaglutide the first time, they will end up in hospital.
Yes. That's the warning I wanted to get out today.
So you start these medications at doses as low as 0.3 milligrams. And over a 2-3 month period, you work your way up to a therapeutic dose of 1 milligram.
Yeah.
It takes months to get to therapeutic levels. But you know what? A lot of patients respond very favorably to a very low dose.
Mm-hmm.
The cornerstone of weight loss still remains lifestyle changes. And I think people think that these things are silver bullets going to kill a werewolf, where actually you're fighting a yeti. Mm-hmm. So if you do not change your physical activity, if you do not manage your sleep and your stress, if you do not change your eating habits and your lifestyle, these medications will not work. One of the biggest problems that I saw with these medications is that up to 34% of the weight that patients lose are actually muscle. So they become thin, fat people. So they lose weight, but they do not lose fat. And it's the fat, not necessarily the weight, that's a problem. Let's take a look at one of our rugby players. These guys can weigh up to 110 kilograms, but they don't have fat on them. So they are healthy. We can look at a 90 kilogram guy, no muscle, all flab, and he's the one that will develop diabetes and hypertension and die of a heart attack or a stroke, develop cancer, have kidney failure. Not the guy with the high muscle mass and low fat percentage.
Yeah.
So, you know what? These medications need to be prescribed appropriately for the correct type of patient with support of lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm. You said correct type of patient. Who shouldn't be on it? Is that a difficult one to answer? Sorry.
Dr. Mock looked in my direction.
So. Okay, that one came up a bit out of the blue. Don't they, the patients with absolute contraindications to your GLP agonist medications are patients who have a history of thyroid cancer or a first-line relative with thyroid cancer.
Okay.
Pancreatic cancer and patients who have had pancreatitis, absolute contraindication.
And from my side, people that want to lose 4 kilograms.
Shouldn't be on it.
No.
Why?
Because it's wasting medication that's needed for other people.
So what would your recommended weight loss?
When they are...
Get your ass off the bed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Take a look at cofactors that play a role.
Yeah.
Iron, vitamin D, zinc, magnesium. Take a look at your stress levels. Take a look at your sleep. Take a look at maybe changing the types of food that you are eating.
If someone comes...
So it's managing. For a patient that just needs to lose 3 or 4 kilograms, it's lifestyle. Make sure that your hormone levels are balanced.
Yeah.
That your thyroid is functioning.
I was just going to ask you, if somebody comes to you, do you ask them or do you get them to do blood tests before you administer something?
Oh, like absolutely. You cannot do this without treating underlying metabolic conditions.
Okay.
And with underlying metabolic conditions, we are talking about everything that's responsible for taking food and turning it into the type of energy that the body is using. This includes gut. This includes neurotransmitters. This includes trace elements, minerals, metals, vitamins, hormones.
Okay.
So You know what? It's not as simple as just giving someone something to inject into their stomach and think this will work. You need to understand the patient's medical condition, medical history, lifestyle, family history. As I say to you, if you've had a first-line relative with thyroid cancer, it's an absolute contraindication for you. So if you don't have that information, you are putting your patient at incredible risk. And I, this is the warning that we want to put out, is people, you need a medical consultation to get this medication, to do this safely and to do this effectively. Elise, what are some of the worst side effects that we've seen in our practice with?
Extreme nausea, extreme diarrhea. That's the two. But like debilitating.
Hospitalization.
We needed to do some intervenous therapy for these patients.
So it's really not a joke.
No, it's not a joke. You need to hydrate them again, you know. What's the worst thing with dehydration? Your kidneys doesn't function
anymore. That's right, yeah.
And if you have kidney damage, it's not easy to reverse kidney damage.
It's almost impossible to, as a matter of fact.
Yes. So, and if your kidneys doesn't work, all the other systems goes to bang. Yeah, so that is the worst side effects that we've seen.
We have also seen some weird ones. Vision disturbances.
Vision disturbances, so, you're right.
Two of our patients complained about vision disturbances, blurry vision. And I eventually called Dr. Brian van Onselen, an ophthalmologist, and he's been on our show, where we spoke specifically about diabetic retinopathy, vision loss that comes because of diabetes. And what he said to me, Mark, it's actually quite interesting that as the deposits of sugar and glucose starts clearing out of a retina, it changes shape. And that's what initially creates the blurry or the double vision. It's self-limiting. But, you know, if you, for instance, use a product that's labeled as semaglutide or Ozempic, which is not supposed to drop your insulin levels, and there's a little bit of insulin in there, you can go into a hypoglycemic coma and you will die.
Yeah.
Sims, have you learned something?
Yes, I have. I shouldn't take anything that my friends recommend. Definitely go to the doctor.
Yeah, don't get anything online.
Online even?
Do you know that if your friend comes to you and asks or tells you, I have a headache. Do you have a headache tablet for me? And you give them that tablet. If they have an adverse reaction, you are medically, legally implicated in that. Do you know that you, as a non-registered medical practitioner, cannot give someone a nausea or a headache tablet without having all the responsibility for what happens to that patient?
I did not know that.
Okay. So
I didn't either. No.
If you take someone, you don't know who, you don't know where, advertising something online, and you buy it, they're not going to take the responsibility. Your medical practitioner, when he prescribes medication, along with a responsible pharmacist that gave you the medication, becomes responsible for what happens.
Sure. I guess it's more serious than what I thought.
I also want to just bring to light that in South Africa, medication cannot be discounted.
Oh, really?
No. There is
so what, there's no specials?
No.
Oh, wow, guys.
there is something called a single exit price.
Okay.
And this was the previous health minister that drove this, Dr. Nkosana Zuma. Way back when she was Minister of Health. She and her successor, Lise, who was that? Can you remember?
Motsoaledi.
Drove this bill to make medication more affordable. So the wholesaler sells the medication to big retail pharmacies, independent pharmacies, practitioners, all at the same price. So medication, if it's scheduled, cannot be discounted. So the moment that you see discounted on social media, number one, it's breaking the law, South African law. And number two, it must immediately tell you, oh my God, what truck has this fallen off?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know what? I just want to put the warning out of there. If you are battling with weight problems, please do not buy stuff online. Go and see your medical practitioner. Ask them to help you source this medication from pharmacies, etc., etc. After you've had a full physical, including some blood tests, and use these medications under supervision so that you get the best bang for your buck. If you want to know more about this type of medication, how I can ethically get hold of it for a condition that I'm battling with, you can call us at the T Clinic on 010-824-1393. So next week, we are going to be back with quite an interesting show. One of my patients walked into my office one day and said to me, I want to be on your show.
Oh.
So next week, we have a patient by the name of Neil on the show. He wants to ask me a couple of questions. I have no idea what they are. So it might be interesting or very harrowing. So Elise will be here to hold my hand.
Neil is very sweet. Don't worry.
Okay. So until next week, we wish you all the best in health.
That was the Tea Health Show, empowering you with knowledge. Download all previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform. The Tea Health Show is brought to you by Tea Clinic.